This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, transcribed from Hollywood.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hair. You certainly know the right thing to wear.
Good evening. This is Bing Crosby. We start off tonight with Irving Berlin's Mandy from the Paramount Technicolor picture in this division, White Christmas. The Buddy Cole Group is on hand to beat this out with me.
I was strolling out one evening by the silvery moon. I could hear somebody singing a familiar tune. So I stopped a while to listen. Not a word I wanted to miss. It was just somebody serenading. Something like this. Mandy, there's a minister, Mandy, and it sure would be dandy if we let him make a fee. So don't you linger, here's a ring for your finger, isn't it a humdinger? Come on along and let the wedding chime bring happy times for Mandy and me.
Mandy. Oh, Bulger, beat this to pieces.
Minister's handy, and it sure would be Mandy. O'Connor could put this. Let's let him make a fee. So don't you linger. I got a ring for your finger, and it's sure a humdinger. Come on along and let the wedding chimes bring happy time for Mandy and me.
Friends, tonight let's briefly discuss that intriguing social phenomenon, the trend. This mighty nation of ours never seems to be without some kind of a trend. It used to be that automobiles were all painted one color, black. Then came the trend toward brighter colors, Operation Spectrum. The trend blossomed so brightly that sunlight on today's cars reflect more and gaudier hues than you'll find in the seed catalog. In fact, if you crave a black sedan nowadays, the quickest way is to buy a coral pink job and have it re-dyed. I don't suppose you should have a black sedan anyhow. People who think you're one of those keep-the-motor-running lefty fellas. Bear in mind, the trend is much different than the fad. A trend is a national moving in one direction. A fad is usually limited to a small portion of the population, and it's generally short-lived. Very fortunate if the fad happens to be the collegiate gulping of goldfish or panty raiding. Well, two important trends rapidly gaining momentum in this new year of 1955 are, first, the crowded church on Sunday. Now, not too many moons ago, plenty of places of worship had a smaller attendance than the outdoor New Hampshire tennis match in January. Currently, however, at many a corner church, you'll see a policeman holding back traffic and ushering the king-sized flock safely across the street. And I must say, this is a wonderful trend. The second trend I refer to is the renaissance of the big family. For quite a spell back when, the style was to make one trip to the maternity ward, and that was it. Today, more and more homes are beginning to resemble branch offices of the Cub Scouts or the Brownies. Maybe that book, Cheaper by the Dozen, turned the trick. Anyhow, it's no longer a novelty to see Mr. and Mrs. America traipsing down the avenue, followed by a sawed-off regiment scooting along the trail like baby quail. Well, who knows? Maybe we're going back to the huge families of 100 to 200 years ago. Benjamin Franklin, for example, whose birthday we took notice of the day before yesterday, was one of 17 children. Me and my paltry four. Geez, I'm nowhere. I'm an unproductive piker.
Cheer up, Dad. We'll try to make it up to you in grandchildren.
Well, Lindsay Crosby, stalwart member of my favorite quartet. Glad you dropped in, Lenny. I was just talking about Benjamin Franklin. You may recall that grammar school exposed you to some of his great wisdom. You remember him?
Ah, plow deep while sluggards sleep, and you shall have corn to sell and to keep. As poor Richard says.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he that rises late must trot all day and shall scarce overtake his business at night. also as poor Richard says.
My son, you're quoting Ben Franklin. This is indeed music to my ears. I'm proud of you, Lenny.
In that case, maybe you'll be sympathetic toward my problem.
Problem?
So happens that I'm in a sore need of $5, as poor Richard would say.
Oh, me, when the well is dry, they know the worth of water, as poor Richard says. But beware, young citizen. If you would know the value of money, go and try to borrow some, for he that goes a-borrowing goes a-sorrowing.
Look, Dan, it's as simple as this. I forgot my wallet. I need $5. The money's in my other jacket, and I'll pay you back tonight.
When you have got your bargain, you may perchance think little of payment, as poor Richard says.
But you will be my creditor, and creditors have better memories than debtors, as poor Richard says.
Son, you plead your case so cleverly.
Thank you.
Here's your Finsky, and not to be nosy, but what are you going to do with it?
Well, I'm going to buy a kite and a key and continue Mr. Franklin's experiments on the relationship between electricity and lightning. Well, thanks, Dad. See you at home tonight.
And early, too. Remember, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, as poor Richard says.
Oh, Dad, you don't really believe that, do you?
Well, frankly, no. That is, I don't take it in a completely literal sense. I mean, health and wisdom are not a simple matter, early to bed and early to rise. Nor would 10 hours sleep necessarily boost you into a higher bracket. However, Ben Franklin, more than any other American of his time, inspired our infant nation to be industrious, to labor mightily in an era when homes and cities had to be built with bare hands. His keen-edged maxims encouraged thrift, the accumulation and investment of capital, thereby improving the standard of living, creating more leisure time, and causing a transition from endless drudgery to a more cultural life. You know, of course, Lenny, that Mr. Franklin was influential in founding the University of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I've met fellows from Penn. They tell me there's an iron statue of Ben Franklin on the campus, and every freshman has to kiss his toe.
You don't approve, Lenny?
Not in the dead of winter. I mean that ice-cold iron. Wow, that's like licking the pump handle.
Well, speaking of Franklin and matters educational, Lindsay, I should expect you to bone up on Plutarch's Lives, not to mention Xenophon's memorable things on Socrates, two ancient literary works which made a profound impression on Franklin as a youth.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What did he learn from Xenophon or Xenophon or whatever?
Well, he learned the art of rhetoric and logic. He learned never to be abruptly contradictory, never disputatious in expressing his opinions, to be always the humble and inquirer and doubter. He came to realize, as should we all, that men should be taught as if you taught them not, and things unknown proposed as things forgot.
Well, anyway, Dad, thanks for the fin. I'll see you around. As poor Richard would say.
You stick around and sing us a song for that $5, if you please.
Oh, I'll sing a dozen ditties for a fiver.
Oh, one will do for now.
Will you join me, Mr. Sandman?
Well, I don't know if I'm up on it. Let's sing that one tomorrow.
Oh, no. Never leave that till tomorrow, what you can do today, as poor Richard said.
I'm the victim of my own devices here.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make her complexion like peaches and cream. Give her two lips like roses and clover. Then tell me that my lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone. Don't have nobody to call my own.
Solo, go.
Please turn on your magic beam.
Oh, go.
Mr. Sandman, bring me your dream. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make her complexion like peaches and cream.
Oh, you're a bumming boy, ain't you? Like roses and clover.
Then tell me that my lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone. Don't have nobody to call my own. Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Yeah, I must say that was a smasher.
Ah, muchas gracias, señor.
El gusto es mío.
De nada.
De nada. Muchas gracias. Okay, hombre, I got the message. I'm ready. That's my cue, once in a while.
Once in a while, will you try?
try to give one little thought to me. Though someone else may be nearer your heart, once in a while, will you dream of the moments I shared with you? Those moments before we two drifted apart.
So we conclude for tonight. Hope you enjoyed what we had to sing for you, what we had to say. Hope also that you'll be listening again tomorrow night at the same time, same station.
This is Ken Carpenter saying goodnight to you all and reminding you that Bing Crosby can be heard Monday through Friday, transcribed from Hollywood.
If it's music you have a yen for, tunes to set your heart a-hummin' and your foot a-tappin', be sure to listen to Tennessee Ernie and Rosemary Clooney tomorrow night on CBS Radio. There are ballads and hillbilly tunes, and versatile Tennessee Ernie drops around, and Rosemary Clooney's 9-year-old sister Gail will join her in a duet version of Open Up Your Heart tomorrow night when Rosemary Clooney sings on CBS Radio. Stay tuned now for the Amos and Andy Music Hall, which...